So I wanted to get Daniel to preach. I just didn't want to get him to do it too soon and make him work all through his sabbatical. But we certainly want to get him a chance to do that before he goes. So if you haven't kind of met Daniel, we go back a long ways. I went to preach in Holland and met him when he was about 17 or 18. And we have just been fantastic friends ever since. And for me to just to watch the way the Lord was raising him up in the nation of Holland and the way that the Lord was just using him and then later when he got married, his wife and circle of friends was just so fantastic to watch and to be able to support. And then in 2002, we went on a trip together to Kenya and just had such a memorable time, and we're even led up into a desert to a little village that was in need of help, and we've been pouring love and attention into that village ever since. And then the church over time adopted that, and you every day you feed 400 plus children in that village every day is just one of the projects that we support. And so we wanted you to be able to get to know Daniel and Marlies, originally from Holland. So they live in Africa. And I'm trying to think, who's here from our team that went in June when we went and spent time with them? I'm trying to think, Pastor Bruce was here. And I usually at the 1:30 service, Amos and others. And some of the people that come to the 1:30, Peter and Holly Williams were with us and others. And we went to spend time there with them. Just had such a fantastic time, and I hope to go back again in the next 3 or 4 months to see what's happening. So Daniel, come along and just share with us whatever the Lord's put on your heart. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Like I said this morning, it's really a privilege for me to be here, and I really mean that, even though you're always supposed to say that when you're speaking, I guess. I really feel that way. And at the same time, I realize I would probably profit more from sitting there and listening to Todd speak, even on the same topic, than preaching it myself. But at least this gives me the opportunity to really thank you. And Marlies and I, we've been living in Kenya for a number of years, and lots of great things, lots of difficult things. And so we just needed a break, and I just want to thank you as River of Life for welcoming Marlies and me into your community, into your homes, into your hot tubs, and giving us just a great season of rest. And we've really enjoyed meeting so many of you. There's many more yet to meet, but over the last 6 weeks, it feels like we've barely been able to eat at home or having to cook ourselves, because we've always been invited for lunches and dinners, and we're very thankful for that. We've really enjoyed meeting so many of you. And I've eaten buffalo and moose, which I've never had before, and so I'm kind of starting to feel almost Canadian. In fact, for Christmas, Todd gave me his big sweater with the Canadian flag on it. So thank you very much for welcoming Marlies and me. Numbers of times Marlies and I would just turn to each other and say, wow, these guys are really kind to us. And we've really felt that. And so I thank you for the love and the encouragement and welcoming me into your homes. We've got lots of great memories of good times of fellowship with many of you. And so thank you very much. It's been a real blessing for us to be here and just to be part of the joy and the life that you guys share here. So thank you very much. We feel really blessed, and I'm glad we've come, and I'm sure we'll be back. But I just wanted to thank you for that. So thank you very much. I won't introduce myself any further. Tonight, we have an extra service at 6:30. In which my wife and I will share a little more on what we do in Kenya and Africa and our journey towards there. And if you come tonight, I hope you'll catch a glimpse of God's passion and love for Africa and what is going on over there in at least in our circle of where we move around. And so you're very welcome to come tonight. My wife will be there as well. And then you'll get to know us a lot more personally, I guess, and see what we do on a more day-to-day basis and what we're involved with and how we understand God's love and passion for Africa and try to live from that. And so you're very welcome to come tonight. And lots of stories, stories of war, stories of salvation, nice things and difficult things. And but it'll be a testimony of God's goodness right there in Africa. And so you're very welcome to come tonight. It'd be fun to have all of you guys there tonight at 6:30. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are in the midst of us this morning, God. And so we look upon you. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, I pray that we wouldn't just grow in some knowledge, but that we would grow in revelation of who you are and your love for us. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and lead us into the truth. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take us by the hand and lead us into the very heart of the Father. That you would help us to break through any fears or wrong belief systems. That you would renew our minds. And that you would lead us into an encounter with your love this morning. So God, would you speak to us? We open our hearts. God, you say that you are good. So therefore, we don't have to hold back or guard our hearts. God, we just want to fully open up. And ask that you and your goodness would come to us personally this morning. God, I ask that even you'd give us faith. That you could speak to us personally this morning. That you could call us by name. And speak the words of love that we need to hear right now this morning. God, let us taste and see that you are good. God, we love you. And would you meet with us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read a piece of scripture in first chapter of Ephesians. We'll read verses 3-5. And there's a time years ago when I was still living in Holland that some friends and I decided to memorize an entire book of the Bible. We did that because we thought it'd be very spiritual. And there's many people who know a lot of Bible verses, and that's cool. But if you could tell somebody you've memorized an entire Bible book, like, we thought we'd be really, you know, in there or whatever. And so we picked Ephesians, like, can't start with a very big book. And so we thought, let's see if we can memorize the entire book of Ephesians. And we tried real hard. I think I tried harder than the others because I wanted to not just memorize it. I wanted to be the first one of our group of friends who memorized it so that I was even better still than them. And at the same time, I was also the first one who gave up after the first chapter. But I did the first chapter. And also, just to make it even worse, I don't even memorize all of it now anymore. But something good did come out of it. And and it happened when I was kind of getting into these first few verses. What we do is, like, we'd read it out loud, we'd pray through these verses, we'd write them out, and then I'd have a piece of paper with, like, the first chapter written out in my pocket, and throughout the day, every now and then, I would just read through it just to, you know, get it into my mind and to memorize it. And as I was doing it, actually, God really spoke to me. And sometimes you'll read verses and, you know, it's good. And then there's other times it just kind of, like, comes to life. Like, God hits you with the reality of it and he speaks to you through it. And it happened to me. So I just want to read these verses. So it's verses 3, 4, and 5. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Sorry, I got stuck there. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And there's especially this fifth verse that spoke to me, where it says that God predestined us and adopted us as his sons, through Jesus Christ, according to his good will and pleasure. And I read this, and I was studying this in a time that I was kind of wrestling with what my identity was. And kind of seeking God and wondering, who am I really? Like, what defines me more than anything else? And when I read this, I realized that I have been called by God. He adopted me as his son. And as I was reading this verse over and over again, trying to memorize it, also I saw this picture, and I saw how God took me and placed me into his family. He adopted me as his son. And I realized in the very core of my being, what defines me more than anything else is that I am a son of God. He has adopted me as his child. I am now his. And this overwhelming sense of just belonging just flooded over me as I realized I belong to God. Like, that is my home. I am his. I'm in his family. He brought me to himself. I am now related to him. I am in him. I am a new creation. I am a child of God. I am his son. And he is my loving father. And that is true of all of us, of course. Like, you're not a son of God by birth. It's by rebirth. And so for those of us who have been born again, we are born into God's family through Jesus Christ. And he has accepted us as his sons and daughters, of course. And the well-known, respected theologian, J.I. Packer, was once asked, what is a Christian? And he says in his book, Knowing God, commenting on this piece of scripture, he says that the richest answer that I can give to what a Christian is he said, somebody who can call God his father. And we are those privileged people. We can call God our father. He is our father. We are his sons and daughters. We are his children. And that is a beautiful, beautiful, and very important thing to grasp. God has done something very good to us. And we are truly blessed because of it. There's a story of a school in northern England, which is not a prison, but it's pretty close to it. It's where young guys who seriously misbehave are sent to, and they can't get out of it, but it's kind of this place to rehabilitate them. And so it's a school, but they really work on their behavior and try to get them back on the right path, so to speak. And this school did a good job. Lots of guys were changing and being helped. But there was this one guy in that school who would not change, and he was the worst of all. And the director of the school, he tried all kinds of methods and different ways just to kind of get this guy to change his life. And so he would try to be real kind to him, together with all the staff and the teachers, and just to you know, show respect and honor him and, you know, praise him for the things he did well and reward him for the good things, but he wouldn't change. So they tried the opposite, just real harsh and strict, only water and bread, punish him real severely, like just extreme discipline, and yet still he wouldn't change. And so the director was frustrated. He's like, what do I do? And so finally he got this idea, and this is a true story. And so he called this young man into his office and he said, young man, we've tried everything to sort you out and you're not changing. And I don't know what the guy thought, but I'm sure he could agree. And then he said, you know, we've tried to be real nice to you. We've tried to be real harsh and strict on you, but nothing is helping. And he said, but there's one thing that I've got left that I can do, but I would need your permission. And so the young guy said, well, what is it? And then he said, I can adopt you as my son. I can give you permission and take you out of this place and bring you to my home, and you will bear my name. And when you fail, when you mess up, when you misbehave, it is my name that you'll bring down. But I will love you as my son and welcome you into my home, and I will love you as a father. And the young man agreed, and he was brought to his home. And from that day, as I'm sure you could guess, his life started to change. And it's not like the next day he was some perfect saint, but he started changing as he was loved by that father, which was first his director. And it kind of paints the picture of our relationship with God. He chose us, and he brought us into his family. He brought us to himself, and we bear his name. We are his children. We've got the honor of calling God in heaven. That's our home now. We belong to him. We belong to our Father. We are not alone. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And so I love sonship, because the gospel is not just some system to kind of modify our behavior. Like, it's not some kind of a plan to manage our sinfulness. Like, we have been invited into a love relationship with God. We've been invited into sonship. And that defines us more than anything else. Yet many of us do not live out this reality, and me included. Very often, I would not live from this place of realization that I'm loved by the Father. I would live spiritually as an orphan. And I've struggled much with that in my life, because I didn't have a revelation of the Father's love for me personally. I knew here that the Father loves us because he loves everyone, but I never felt loved in my heart. I was always kind of on good terms with Jesus. Like I was, you know, was deeply aware of Jesus' love for me. Like his death on the cross is obviously very significant to me and very real to me. And I know that he gave his life to save me. And so often my understanding of the love of God for me, like immediately it drew my attention to Jesus. I interpreted through Jesus and his death on the cross, rightfully so, of course. And so I always felt loved by Jesus, and he was my friend, always with me. And then the Holy Spirit, like I was on good terms with the Holy Spirit as well. Like he lives in me, and I'm aware of his presence with me wherever I go. He helps me. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I love the Holy Spirit. But with the Father, I always kind of had issues. Like it kind of came from this idea that I had that God, as the judge and righteous God, wanted to judge the world, wanted to judge me for my sinfulness. And it's just because Jesus stepped in between and saved the day, otherwise the Father would have killed me. That kind of idea. And so I could somehow not receive love from God as my Father. I knew up here that God loved me, and you know, you're supposed to know and say that and whatever, and I could even, you know, at times pray to him. But from my heart, I could never receive his love. It was always guarded. Because I thought he is the one who wanted to judge me for my sinfulness. He is the one who hates my sin. And it cost him his son that I was sinning. And God had to take me through this process to renew my mind that actually the Father really loves me. And it's for God so loved the world that he gave his son. It was his idea to save me. He wanted to send his son so that he could spend eternity with me. He's actually really passionate about us. And he really loves us. And yes, he's a righteous God and sin can't stand in his presence. But he is the one who came with a solution and gave his son so that he could spend eternity with us. And so that we could be his children, adopted into his family. But in the meantime, before I got that revelation, I lived spiritually as an orphan. I lived as somebody who was not loved by a father, who didn't have a father, who didn't have a home. And we live in Kenya. And our town is called Kitale, and we have a lot of street children there. Like more than average, because this whole area north of where we live is kind of a desert area. It's one of the poorest places in all of East Africa. And so a lot of people from there would come and to our town to kind of hope for a better future. And a lot of them, at times, kids whose parents have died will come down, they'll find their way, and they come try to get to the city, you know, and to make a living. And so we've got a lot of street children. And definitely those who came last June and others who visited us, like whenever you go to town, like you can't help but notice them. Like they'll come to you, they'll beg for stuff, and they're dirty and all clothes torn up, and they're real rude and kind of aggressive. And especially if you're new to our town, as a white person, they'll kind of test the boundaries and try to get stuff from you because they're desperately trying to survive. And for many years, for a long time at least, I would kind of look down upon these kids. Many of these kids are orphaned, and so they end up on the street. They have nobody that takes care of them. They are totally independent and alone. And they are probably the most difficult group of people in Kenya to work with. Because they're very independent, they don't trust anybody, they do not feel loved, and so if they've developed this real fighting mentality, like fight for anything you can get. Use anybody, don't trust anybody, you know, work hard and fight to see whatever you can get. And I would often be irritated by their behavior. At first you're kind of sorry when you just come to Kenya. After a while, like they can really irritate you and frustrate you. And that kind of started to develop in me as well. Until recently, like over the recent season of my life, God started showing me that actually a lot of their characteristics are found in my heart as well. And a lot of their behavior I have as well. Because I developed an orphan heart. I wasn't aware, I didn't have an experiential understanding of the Father's love for me. Like I would have a theological position, but no revelation experiential of the Father's love for me. I didn't live out of the reality of the Father's love for me, even though I could tell people that the Father loves them. And so I developed a bit of this independent attitude and this attitude of like, I've got to fight for anything I can get. I wasn't in this place where I was just resting in the Father's love, trusting that the Father would care for me and that I would receive every good and perfect gift from Him, I kind of felt like I had to fight and try to get anything I could get out of life. And that was being in ministry. And I became independent, this independent fighter, and hardened my heart towards the Father. And it made me more and more lonely. And I was just like these street children that I looked down upon. I had the same thing, issues in my very heart. I was, spiritually speaking, an orphan. I didn't live from the reality of the Father's love for me. And so it caused me to strive, because deep down, the one thing I wanted was to feel loved, embraced by my Father, and embraced by my Father. That was my heart's cry. But at the same time, there was a fear in my heart for the Father, because I thought, if He sees how sinful I am, and when I get close, He'll judge me. And so I was scared. And I always felt like I was from the outside looking in. Like this picture of me standing outside of a house and looking through the window, and there inside I could see the Father. And He was there with children, kind of like this happy family setting. And it was warm inside, and the Father was blessing all these children that would come to Him. And I longed to be there, but I was just scared to go in. And I felt I was outside and I had to fight for myself and kind of basically survive. And yet, call myself a Christian. I was living outside of the reality of the Father's love for me. I was living as if I didn't have a home. And because I was scared of God, whenever I would struggle, I'd run away from God instead of run towards Him. Whenever I would fail or struggle with sin, like, I'd run away from God and try to sort myself out so that, you know, like, another day when I was looking a bit better or doing a bit better spiritually or I'd fasted or whatever, then I was a bit more confident in God's presence. Like, it was all based on my behavior instead of God's love towards me. And so it was very conditional. And so often, the fear of God in an unhealthy way, and there's a biblical fear of God, but there's an unhealthy being afraid of God that hinders a relationship with Him, had crept into my heart. And then I read this story of a father, true story of a father who had a handicapped son. And the father one day asked the son, and his name happened to be Daniel in this book, and he said to Daniel, son, if you look into the eyes of God, what do you see? And the son was quiet for a bit and looked down and then looked up to his dad and said, I see there are tears in his eyes. And the father, a little surprised by this answer, asked his son, why are there tears in God's eyes? Why is He sad? And the son was quiet again and looked down. And then he looked up and now he himself was crying. And he said, it's because I'm afraid of God. And I think the pain of God to such a great degree lies in our fear of Him. The Father who loves us so much gave everything so that we could be one with Him, so that He could embrace us as His sons and daughters, sees that so many of us deep down are afraid of Him. And we'll come to church and we'll worship and sing our songs, but deep down our hearts are guarded. Because actually we're afraid that He would judge us. Because we're realizing that we're so sinful, that we fall short, that we're so weak. We're so aware of our brokenness. And yet God longs to come in the midst of our brokenness and lift our chin and look us in the eyes and tell us how much He loves us. And so I had to renew my mind, and God spoke to me how He as a father loves me and how He longs for me to come close. And really He is the one who can help me. And there's no use in when I'm struggling with sin to run away and try to sort things out myself, because I can't. He is actually the only one who can. And I was really struggling. And in John 14, verse 8, Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient to us. And we know that Jesus was the picture of the Father on earth. Like, He came to demonstrate the love of the Father. And so Jesus explained to him, if you know Me, you know the Father. And I had to understand that because I knew Jesus loved me. He was so good. But I realized that in every way that Jesus is good to us, the Father is good to us. Because He does what the Father would have done. He speaks the words that the Father speaks to us. And so Jesus, in His kindness and love, was demonstrating to us the love of the Father. And Jesus told His disciples, the Father Himself loves you. And it's with the same love that I've loved you, that the Father loves me, that the Father loves you too. He loves you with the same kind of love. And so Jesus revealed the love of the Father to us. Where in the Old Testament, the Israelites would primarily know God as God transcendent, God almighty and powerful. Like, Jesus added this dimension of the Father heart of God. And he invites us to experience God as our Father. And so when Philip said, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient, Philip didn't understand that, and Jesus told him that. But Philip was right in that it is sufficient. There is a sufficiency to the revelation of God as our Father. There is nothing, I think, more satisfying and liberating than to feel loved by God as our Father, to have this sense of belonging and feeling at home in his embrace. And when we don't know that, when we don't feel loved by God as a Father, we will struggle. Because we, as C.S. Lewis put it so nicely, we were all shaped with a God-sized hole or vacuum in our hearts that only God can satisfy. And if God does not satisfy that, we'll be left hungry and we will look for something to satisfy our hearts, to fill that void with. And if you're hungry, you'll eat crazy things. And so if we are not satisfied in God, we will turn to the world to seek for satisfaction. And so if we don't know the love of God, so quickly, like, we'll become occupied with the things of this world. And it can lead to all kinds of addictive behavior, and or even when we're in ministry, like, really striving and working so hard, just kind of make up this hunger, like, to kind of try to satisfy and sort out this hunger that we have on the inside. And 1 John 2:15, it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love God, if you've received the love of the Father, like, the world really loses its attractiveness. Like, your love for the world will just almost, like, fall away. But if we do not know the love of the Father, we'll give ourselves to the world. And we'll start sinning, because sin is what we do when we're not satisfied in God. If we don't know the satisfaction, the freedom and the joy of a personal love relationship with God, that emptiness will drive us to different places and we'll sin. But if the love of the Father is in us, he sets us free from the love of this world. And this, like, this is a great way to grow into holiness. This is now from the inside out. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. So often I tend to turn that around. I'm like, I must decrease. I must sin less. I must put to death this. Like, I need to die to myself and say no to sin and resist temptation. And hopefully one day God will increase in my life. When it's the other way around, we can, instead of just being obsessed with sin, we are invited into a relationship with God and to fix our eyes on him, which is a lot more biblical, because we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. And as we do that, what we behold, we become. What we look at is what we move towards to. And as God fills us, and more of him enters into our hearts, less of us just, you know, happens. It's the presence of God that made the ground holy when Moses stood on that mountain. And it's the presence of God that'll change your life. It'll make all the difference. And so God invites us into a love relationship with him. The problem is that many of us have this wrong picture of God, just like I did. And like, we develop this fear, unhealthy fear of God. And he invites us, he longs to spend time with us. He really, really loves us. When you got saved, it wasn't just God putting the stamp in your passport and like, alright, you're in. Like, he really felt something about us. God is a very passionate and loving Father. And he really feels towards you. There is something about you that makes him look at you again and again. You are greatly drawn to him. He loves you and he likes us too. The way you look, the way you do, when you wake up in the morning, maybe drool hanging from your mouth, like, he smiles over you. God is not most of the time mad or discouraged over you. He really isn't. He loves you and he enjoys you. With the knowledge of your weaknesses and with the knowledge of your sins, he is after you. He wants you to have a personal love relationship with you. He loves to spend time with you. Some while ago, before I came on this trip, I I had to go to Nairobi, which is the capital of Kenya where we live. And it's about a 6.5 hour drive on bad roads. And so we went there in the morning, drove all the way up to Nairobi. And then the afternoon, we were doing all this paperwork and stuff that we had to do in the city there. And then it was the end of the day. We were having dinner, and I was with a few friends, and we were kind of debating what to do this evening. And I said, well, we could go to the cinema, watch a movie, or we could just go to bed because we're all so tired. And then we're like, well, let's just go watch a movie. Let's, you know, see if we can get a one that's not so long, and then we can still go to bed early. So we decided that, and we went to the cinema, picked a movie that we thought was short. Turned out to be over 3 hours long. Picked the wrong movie. Anyway, so we were there in the cinema, and we were pretty much the only ones in there. And so we were watching it, and it was just kind of going on and on. And so about halfway, all of a sudden, and this may sound a little weird, it was really very real to me. I felt God's presence there. And it was almost like, well, it was like I could just picture and see God sitting next to me, like not in the seat next to me, but like two or three chairs down, because there was space enough. And I could just feel God's presence, and like he was looking at me. And I don't know if you recognize this, but sometimes at our home in Kenya where we live, in the evenings, like it happened a few times that in the evenings I didn't know what to do. And my wife would be working on her laptop or reading a book or something. And then it kind of frustrates me that I don't know what to give my time to at that moment. And that my wife is occupied and that she won't give me attention. Like I'm very selfish. And then I can't stand it that my wife has got something to do and I don't know what to give myself to at that moment. And so now I'll start nagging her. Like I'll give her a kiss or I'll sit on her book or start to tickle her. Like I try to get her attention and try to get her to give herself to me. And finally, she knows how this works. She'll give up and close her book or computer. And like, we'll talk and like, we'll hang out. But, and so when I was in the cinema, it kind of felt like that. And I don't want to say that God is bored. Like he doesn't get bored. But it kind of felt like God was trying to get my attention to spend time with me. And at first, a little, I was just resisting. I was like, God, I'm watching a movie here. I've learned to, when God pulls on your heart, there's just times that you just sense God wants to spend time with you. I've learned to give myself to it because it's just so rewarding. It's the best thing. And so it's a lot better than watching Brad Pitt on the screen. So I turned and I gave myself, I said, God, I love you too. Because I was just feeling God saying, oh, I love you. I want to spend time with you. And as soon as I gave myself to it, just the love of God just flooded my heart. And like the movie went on for another, I think, 1.5 hour or however long it was. But all the time, like I was just in this presence of the Lord, just experiencing such deep communion in his presence. And that's my joy when I think of heaven, is that there'll be unbroken communion in the love of God. And it's going to be the richest, most beautiful thing ever. But there in just in a cinema, and these things happen many times, Corp, but like, it's just funny here in a cinema that God, it's like he's knocking on the door of my heart. It's like, Daniel, I want to hang out. I want to spend time with you. I love you. And I know that's God's heart. He longs to spend time with you. He rejoices when we wake up in the morning and we fix our eyes on him. Yet so often we don't give ourselves to him for all kinds of reasons. But very often it's because we're ashamed or we struggle with feelings of guilt. And it's too painful to turn to God. And sometimes we have this relationship with God, which is more one of a cop and a criminal. It's more like God is out there in heaven, he's the police guy, and we feel like we're the criminals. And we wake up in the morning, it's like we feel his breath in our neck, like, you've got to read 3 scriptures in the Bible, or you can't wake up, that kind of a deal. Like, you've got to have quiet time, or, you know, like, this day is wasted. When instead we can wake up with this revelation, this play, from this place of rest that the Father loves us. And here's another day in which he invites us to walk with him, and where we can experience his love. But sometimes we get so tense in life. We're so striving just because we don't know his unconditional love. We don't have to pray more to feel loved. We don't have to work harder to earn the love of God. He loves us. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Because he loves us. That's who he is, and it's unconditional. And we can wake up to the reality of the Father's love. It's new every morning. And we at the end of the day can go to bed resting, secure, knowing that we're at home in the Father's embrace, even though we struggle with sin that day, even though we may not have prayed, even though we may have had a bad mood all day, the Father still loves us. And that's a very powerful thing to know. It's a very comforting thing. Sometimes when I'm driving in the car, like I had it when I had driving lessons, like I wasn't a very good driver. I failed a number of times and I only got saved by faith, I think. got my driving license by faith. I really did. But often when I was driving, I get real tense. Like, and my face would be right up to the window and I got, you know, I'd be holding onto the steering wheel so hard. And my driving instructor every time would be like, touching my head, he put his hand on my hands like, Daniel, you don't have to hold the steering wheel so tight. Like, it doesn't help. And you can sit back and relax and I'll be like, okay. And like, he'd have to teach me that. But still at times when I'm driving, and like, I can be in a very comfortable situation, like on the highways here where there's barely anybody driving. Like at times, like, I'm just right there by the window, and then it's usually my wife who'll notice and say something. He's like, Daniel, you're right by the window. And I'll be like, oh yeah. And like, slowly my hands just relax, and I sit back like, oh yeah, it doesn't help. You know, I can just sit back and enjoy the scenery and just drive. Like, I'm not about to have an accident. And it's kind of like that in our lives. Sometimes we get so tense and there's no peace. And really it's because we don't feel loved by God. And we can be real honest with ourselves here, even this morning. I was raised in a Christian home and, you know, like I thought God loved me and all that stuff, but it wasn't until very long ago that I realized that actually I had never really had an experiential revelation of the Father's love for me. And all of a sudden I realized that in so many areas of my life, I was striving and living spiritually as an orphan and not from the reality of the Father's love for me. And then when I encountered the Father's love, I experienced that sufficiency, the satisfaction. And it's almost like you're like, oh, it's okay. You know, like, my life is still a mess, but I'm okay. He loves me. That kind of a thing. And that is a very satisfying thing. Like, it gives an incredible strength. It's like a backbone in your life. The Father loves me. I'm His Son. That is my identity. And now I can live from that place. I don't have to strive and struggle and fight for anything I can get here on earth. Like, I look to my Father and He, as my Father, He'll give me what I need. And because I know He loves me and I've got an understanding of His goodness, I can trust Him. And it helps me to kind of let go and like surrender to God and say, okay, God, I trust that You will provide for me. I trust that You will help me through the day. I trust that You will help me in my marriage. I trust that You'll help me to live a holy life. And now it becomes all about Him instead of where it first was all about me and what I could make happen. It is essential, I think, to our health that we understand the love of the Father. I just want to close with this one last scripture verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And reading this, because it's kind of like, you kind of feel like shouting, like victory. Like, we are the children of God. We are those. And we have received the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of adoption. And His Spirit bears witness with ours and causes us from our hearts, with all our strength and our emotions, to cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, You are my Father. I love You. And that word, Abba, is a very intimate phrase. Like it speaks of children in the presence of a loving, affirming Father, feeling safe, calling Him Daddy. And that's what God invites us into. A relationship where we feel at home in the Father's embrace, where we know, not just here, but with our hearts, that we are loved by our Father in heaven. That He is passionately in love with us. That He loves us and that He likes us too. Let's stand up and I want to ask God to minister to us this morning in this area. So I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and confirm these truths in our hearts. That the Holy Spirit would bear witness with our spirit that truly we are the children of God. That God would release that cry from deep in our heart. that we wholeheartedly could say, Abba, Father. That we would enter into revelation of the Father's love for us. And so, Holy Spirit, even now I ask that you would come and bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That, Father, you love us. Let's just wait a minute on the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister to our hearts this morning? Come reveal the heart of the Father. And God, I ask that you would break through fear and shame. That you would break through feelings of guilt and condemnation. And that you would set our hearts free to experience your love this morning, God. For some of you, I feel God wants to really meet with you this morning. And there's a lot of great things about today. Like the one moment for the last few days that I've looked forward to is this moment. Because I feel for some of you, God wants to let you even experience His smile over your life. Some of you, He just wants to, it's like get a hold of you, just grab you and hold you. And tell you, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. I love you. And just like Jesus had to hear the Father say to him, you are my son, and you I am well pleased. I just feel like God wants to speak that over some of you very specifically. Make that very real, that you are his son. The Father looks in you and is well pleased. And if you are anything like me, you struggle to receive that. Like I knew that in my mind, I've known for years from when I was a child. But in my heart, like my emotions were disconnected from the reality of God's love. I really didn't feel loved by God. And I would pray to God the Father and I tried to do what I thought was right to do. But in my heart was just disconnected to the reality of it. And I needed a revelation of the Father's love. And there were a whole bunch of areas in my life that I would struggle with. But as I received the love of the Father, like He brought healing and He brought freedom in many of these areas. And I feel for some of you, like you've probably recognized some of these things that I've shared this morning, and it kind of resonates with your heart, and you're like, I need a greater revelation of the Father's love for me. I need to go deeper into the love of the Father. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And there's at times that we receive the revelation, but we drift again, and we end up again striving, and it's almost like I do that personally by default, and it's like God needs to call me back every time. And I need to... It's like, okay, relax, it's okay. And I just need to, again, receive the love of the Father. And for some of you, if you feel you need to, it's almost like a homecoming. You want to come back home into the Father's embrace this morning. I want to invite you to come to the front. And I don't know, maybe that's a little new to you. And there's nothing more holy or special about being in front. It's really, I want to invite you, though, just to receive ministry. So there's people here who'll pray for you. And it'll be you kind of demonstrating an act to God, saying, God, like I want to come towards you. And so even in walking to the front, it's in your heart, like you're displaying this heart attitude of God, I just want to walk back home again, back into the embrace of my loving Father. And for some that may be really scary, but for a moment, like put your faith in God and say, God, I know you are good. I may not feel it. I'm really nervous about this, but you are good. And so I come, I want to give you my heart. And so, If that's for you, I just want to ask you to come forward. And I want to invite the prayer team as well, just all the ministry and prayer people to come to the front too. And I'll pray a prayer, and then I want to ask you guys just to lay hands on these people and just bless them. And you don't need to pray out your life story or whatever, like just kind of bless what God does. And we just want to lead these people into an encounter with God as a Father. And for those of you in front, I want to ask you to surrender your fears and surrender unbelief. And surrender the baggage of maybe guilt and shame that you could be carrying, that I was carrying. And just let all of it go for a second, and it's like just you and the Father. And so, Father God, we come against fear in the name of Jesus. We come against the lies of the devil spoken over these people in the name of Jesus. And right now, Father God, in your name, I want to release these hearts to receive the love of the Father. Free these hearts. Break through the fear and the shame and the condemnation. And ask that you'd release their hearts to receive your love. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and bear witness in their hearts now. Father, I ask that you would speak words of love over them now. Father, I ask that you would carry them back home to your embrace. I ask that you would overwhelm them with a sense of belonging. The Father loves you. He said the words of your friend Jesus. He said the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. He is for you, not against you. He has created you this way because he wanted you this way. He loves the way you are. So, Father God, I ask that you'd release your love. I ask that you'd bring healing to the brokenhearted. Let's just keep receiving. There might be a few of you, like, you feel absolutely nothing, but like some of this, like, you know it's truth, and I just want you to by faith, just agree with the truth. Like, in the end, like, we're walking by faith. And so maybe emotions will kick in later, but at least renew your mind, and you've taken a step forward. And so in faith, you agree, and you say, God, in my heart, I'll determine you love me even though I don't feel it. And you can just maybe confess some of these truths. God, you love me. God, I am your son. God, you accept me as I am. And just agree with it in faith. For some of you, God will take you on a journey where he'll renew your mind and just grow your faith. And that faith that grows, that'll be like the riverbed in which you'll receive the revelation, the experience of his love. Like your emotions might kick in later. Because for some of you, like, our beliefs, like, is so weak that we could feel love this one morning, but we'll lose it in a few days just because we don't actually really, really believe it. We just base some of these beliefs on just the way we feel or not feel. And so for, you know, some of you, God will start with you with a process. So let's believe the right thing. But allow God to do whatever he wants.